This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It is Monday, the 31st of January already. My name is Audrey Raj and joining me on the show today, virtually, is the lovely Mr. Richard Bradbury. How are you doing, Rich?
I'm very well. How are you, Auds?
I am doing good as well. We are at the end of Jan.
I know. I don't know where the rest of the month has gone.
Exactly.
It's just flown by. How are we in the end of Jan? We're in February pretty much. How did that happen? Where'd it go?
No idea. On the show today, we are going to be talking about something slightly lighter. We're going to be talking about the hotel industry or the hospitality industry's road to recovery. The revenge travel and revenge staycations and all of that. Now, this morning on The Grill, they were talking about how there's been a surge in people going for staycations, right? And even in China, tier one, tier two, tier three cities, everyone just seems to be wanting to take a break. And maybe they can't travel across borders, but, you know, they're trying to do it even in their own city. When is the last time you took a staycation, Rich?
A couple of months ago, two or three months ago, yeah. It was only a weekend, but just somewhere in KL, just a nice weekend away from... my home. Anywhere away from home is a staycation, no?
Yeah, but was it a good experience for you?
It was. Yeah, it was. It kind of helped me reset a little bit. So, and there was a swimming pool that I managed to dive in, which was nice. I think that's what I was craving, you know, just getting some water somewhere it was nice.
Right. So now, how what are your thoughts on this? Now, how is the hotel industry bouncing back, you know, from the massive hits taken during this pandemic? You know, do you feel like it is truly and finally on the road to recovery? Your thoughts before we get started.
I feel as though it is, and I've started to see people who are involved in this industry, you know, posting a lot more on their social media about the rooms are starting to fill up and they're actually going back to work, and they feel as though, you know, they have a job again almost. And I think for the 2 years it was paused, wasn't it, for a lot of them?
Yeah.
And they were kind of doing things to keep the hotel going in one way or another. They might have been redecorating to help do little things like that and just kind of, you know, glam things up a little bit. But fundamentally, they want to be helping people who are staying in the hotel. And now I'm starting to see that again. So it's nice. I think it's slowly happening. Yes.
Yeah. Well, if rapid hotel closures and urgent asset sales in 2020 and 2021 underscored the effect of the pandemic on the hospitality segment, the swift resumption of business and new hotel openings, I guess, are a sign of big improvements in the segment, at least operationally. Now, according to an article we found in The Edge, it says here that if everything goes according to plan, 5,700 new hotel rooms and 800 service apartments or hotel residences are scheduled to come on stream this year, and this is in the Klang Valley alone. And consider this, even as we witnessed the permanent closure of two long-standing hotels last year, the Putri Pan Pacific in JB and Hotel Istana KL, I think this was in September. New hotels and international brands were making their maiden entry into Malaysia.
Yeah, the real estate agency Zerin Properties Klang Valley Hospitality Sector report dated December of 2021 revealed a list of openings in 2021, which included the 186-room Fairfield Kuala Lumpur and 319-apartment Capri Hotel by Fraser. Here's a quote. The opening of hotels during this period sends two very strong signals. First, investors and operators have a strong conviction on the robust domestic demand, and second, they are certain about the long-term potential of the tourism sector in Malaysia. This is according to the Zerin Properties CEO, Pravindran Singh, told The Edge. It's also worth pointing out that these openings took place even as the hotel industry performance was at its worst. According to the Malaysian Association of Hotels, the MAH, the industry sustained losses to the tune of 9 billion ringgit in the January to September 2021 period, compared with 6 billion in losses for the entire of 2020. The industry also bled 300 million ringgit every 2 weeks during the MCO. Can you imagine that?
Yeah. Now, in an interview with The Edge, MAH CEO Yap Lip Seng, you know, who we will be hearing from after the break, he said that the industry is on the path to recovery and that he is hopeful tourism will return to pre-pandemic levels, albeit by 2024 at the earliest. He also said, and here's a quote, it seems that recovery should be on track now, with domestic tourism playing a major role over the next 1 to 1.5 years before we see significant international arrivals again. He also believes further hotel closures are unlikely, provided that there are no more travel restrictions. The hospitality industry began to improve as soon as the travel restrictions were eased, giving hotel operators hope that, you know, 2021 would end with a higher occupancy rate. Lip Seng also said that this also signaled hotels to reopen and restart of the hotels that had shut down temporarily, right? And the better performance, Lip Seng said, was also due to pent-up demand as interstate travel restrictions had been in place, you know, between January and October last year. So that's like most of the year.
Like you say, the revenge kind of, you know, staycations. But there's always a but, right? Towards the end of 2021, concerns, of course, over the emergence of the Omicron variant emerged, although it did not have an adverse impact on domestic tourism, as many opted to continue with their plans after a long period of staying at home. So the average occupancy rate, the AOR, peaked at 52% during the last 2 weeks of the year-end holidays. This is according to Yap Seng, of course, which was decent, all things considered. He also confirmed that the locations experiencing speedy recovery are the islands of Langkawi and Penang. I don't think that's surprising at all. Again, another quote, Langkawi continues to be the most popular destination with sufficient capacity and capability to recover. But Penang's hotel occupancy shot up immediately after travel restrictions were lifted and has been consistent since. And during the year-end holidays, Penang even enjoyed an AOR of 70% at one point. Can you imagine that? Just people like just getting out of town. Where can we go?
I mean, if you check your Instagram, you can see everyone's in Penang and Langkawi, right?
For sure.
So this year's performance will mostly, I guess, be supported by domestic tourism with hopes of staggered reopening of international tourism by the third quarter from selected countries via the VTL, or Vaccinated Travel Lane implementation, and international travel bubble initiatives. This, of course, is according to Lip Seng. He shares two possible scenarios, noting that how the year finishes would depend on whether international borders reopen, given the uncertainty of you know, because of Omicron, right? Here's another quote. If this continues, as in borders do not open, average occupancy for this year will likely not exceed 35%. In terms of average daily rates, or ADR, the industry already lost about 40% on average compared with pre-COVID days, and depending on factors such as your hotel star rating, your city hotel versus a resort hotel or location. And this is not expected to improve in 2022.
Now, in the event that international travel fully resumes, they have said that it hopes it will drive hotel occupancy in the second half, which would boost 2022 AOR to about 50%. As for the ADR, as you mentioned, the average daily rates, Yap Seng expects the improvement to be minimal, as it expected to only benefit selected hotels with strong international demand. So this year, despite being marked as a quote-unquote recovery year, is in fact geared towards operational recovery more than financial recovery. So demand, which will continue to be driven by the domestic market, is not expected to be sufficient to drive profitability, as domestic spending power is a lot lower when compared with foreign spending. 2022 will continue to be a year of survival for the industry. This is what Yap Seng has highlighted.
Yeah. So touching on hotel openings during the pandemic, he observes that hotel owners took different approaches depending on which stage of development these hotels were in. You know, for developments that had been planned but had yet to commence, while there were still no significant decisions made to delay them, there were considerations to re-strategize based on market demand. For near to completion or completed developments during the pandemic, decisions were made to delay their opening. Meanwhile, developments that had commenced with expectations of completion by the time the country transitions to the endemic phase they are expected to be on time. So quite a lot to unpack there. You know, for more insights on what's really happening in the hotel industry, you know, what's going on with the recovery, let's just hear from Lip Seng himself. You know, we'll have him on the line with us and we'll ask him a couple more questions after a quick break. We don't really have a question, an EBB question for you today, but you know, if you'd like to chime in and tell us when was the last that you went on a staycation, what was that experience like? You know, was there anything missing, you know, from pre-pandemic levels, right? Get in touch with us and tell us what you think.
And where did you go? And why was it Langkawi or Penang?
018-789-8899 is the number to reach us on WhatsApp. You can also chime in on Twitter. At BFM Radio is our handle. We're taking a quick break. When we come back, we will have the CEO of the Malaysian Association of Hotels, Yap Lip Seng, on the line with us. Stay tuned. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Behold freedom, Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
And we're back. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes with Richard Bradbury and Audrey Raj. On the show today, we are talking about the recovery of the hotel industry. You know, now that everyone's going on,
Staycase. I was going to ask you, you asked me earlier if where I'd been and when I went. Did you go anywhere at all?
I went just before the weekend. That's one of the reasons why we're talking about this today.
Where did you go?
So it was just in KL. I just went down to KL about, I don't know, 7 kilometers down from where we live. but we just wanted to take the small one just out of the house, you know. And you know, she's not really considered a pandemic baby, but you know, she's not really experienced, you know, staying in a hotel and things like that. And it was nice, it was fine. I have to say the service was spectacular. Everyone was just friendlier and more welcoming and more warm than I remember. But I have a complaint. This is the only reason why I'm not naming the hotel that we stayed in. It's because, like, after 11:45, we couldn't get anyone on the phone with us. No one picked up the phone when we tried to call for room service, and no one picked up the phone when we had a bit of issue with the lighting in the room. And so I couldn't get any help. Not until,
after 11:45 p.m. at night?
Yes, which is not, you know, that's just not cool.
No, but I suppose that's part of pandemic thinking, isn't it? They assume that. I'm guessing everybody probably goes to bed at like 10:30, you know.
No, for me, immediately I thought this must be an issue with staff shortage.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
I think people are taking maybe like doing more of the front desk or maybe housekeeping stuff and all that. And then like after 12, you know, they go home and they get their rest because they got to start again bright and early, right? So I kind of put it down to staff shortage. And, you know, they were very apologetic the next day when we checked out. And they said they'd take extra care of us the next time we go back. But we'll just see.
Okay then.
Yeah, we're also looking to hear from you, you know, and tell us about your last staycation experience. If it was recent, where did you go? Why Penang? Why Langkawi? And here's how you can get in touch with us.
You can get us via WhatsApp on 018-789-8899. Get us on Twitter. We're at BFM Radio.
Now, on the line with us right now, we have the CEO of the Malaysian Association of Hotels, Yap Lip Seng. Lip Seng, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us on the eve of Chinese New Year. So maybe just to start off, you can tell us what's been happening in the hotel scene generally, you know, since we've opened up proper.
Since the reopening of domestic tourism and lifting of travel restrictions, hotel occupancy increased in most states, especially for Langkawi, benefiting from not only domestic but also international travel bubble. Averagely, occupancy before the reopening was approximately 20% for the country, with Sabah and Sarawak at an average of 40-50% contributed for mandatory quarantine imposed by the state, while Kuala Lumpur was below 20% and Penang in single digit. The reopening saw a sharp increase for Penang, reaching as high as above 60% during the year-end holidays, and KL at approximately 40%, while Langkawi fluctuated to as high as 70%. Average for the country peaked at 52% over Christmas and New Year holidays. This, however, is with a lower average room rate, on average down by between 30-70%, depending on the category and location of the hotels. Certain popular destinations saw room rates inflating close to pre-COVID days for the peak periods, such as Langkawi and Batu Feringhi beach resorts.
Let's talk a little bit about the staff that have been furloughed. Do you have any idea of what they might have gone on to do?
Well, to our best knowledge, those who have left the industry ventured into other industries, including gig economy as well as home businesses, small businesses that have started from home. And while it may not guarantee the same quantum of income as before with hotels pre-COVID, it is perceived as more stable.
How have hotels been handling the influx of guests during the festive season, you know, like year-end, Christmas, and then now we're moving into Chinese New Year, in terms of staffing?
Hotels are taking extra steps to manage expectations of guests, as well as to create awareness on commitment by hotels to ensure SOP compliance that could cause delay in service. There are many hotels also taken extra initiative in reducing inventory of rooms and limiting customers to ensure timely delivery of services. At the same time, hotels are actively engaging part-timers and freelance workers, including special groups such as single moms, offering attractive rates and potentially work contracts to recruit more manpower. This is, of course, on top of redeploying back office employees for the purpose. And we have general managers now even cleaning rooms.
Do you think that foreign workers are the long-term solution? What about gig economy? What about the gig economy and using freelancers, for example?
Hotels are actually not dependent on foreign workers. There are policies in place already for the industry that limits the use of foreign workers in hotels to only back of house, and there are limits to based on the number of rooms of the hotels. The current situation is caused by loss of local workers more than the loss of foreign workers. Foreign workers will never be the solution. Permanent solution includes rebuilding the reputation of the industry, recreating hospitality, job security, as well as reassuring the growth of the industry to the people for the next 5 years.
Now, Lip Sing, I'm just curious if the challenges are different for like your larger chains, you know, as compared to like the boutique hotels, the smaller players.
Well, operationally, the difference is more into the size of the hotels, where the larger ones would need to make drastic changes to its operations in order to sustain, including managing manpower where it is essential. Having said that, larger chain or international chain hotels would have access to better management tools, also assisted by respective brand support systems.
And do you think hotels are doing anything differently that you know of to entice people to get back into or to even join the industry for the first time?
Well, to our best knowledge, hotels are trying different things. Hotels are also offering higher remuneration packages. They're not fully dependent on basic salary, but also other incentive-driven factors to entice more people to come back to the industry. But more importantly, hotels are trying to convince the people that this is the time to move forward. This is the time for the hotels to restart and the tourism industry to restart. And we will only grow from here.
Is there anything that the government can do? You know, how can the government support the hotel industry in anticipation, you know, of tourists flocking back into the country and, you know, upping the demand essentially?
Okay, moving forward, apart from the current incentives and subsidies from the government, there are a few other things that we anticipate the industry will need and the government will need to do. Firstly, to rebuild confidence and assurance for the industry, government needs to make clear statements towards the full reopening of tourism, including international borders moving forward. And there should be no worry of another travel ban or lockdown. And then we need to recreate the image of the hospitality industry and encourage careers in hospitality. And we need to relook in the capacity-related SOPs, whether it's restaurants, meeting rooms, ballrooms, and review the practicability to allow businesses to maximize usage.
You briefly mentioned careers there as well. So in the longer term, how can we make the hotel industry enticing for future talent?
On the longer term, we believe that the industry needs to look into increasing its competitiveness internationally. At the moment, Malaysia is still the lowest in average room rates in comparison with neighbouring countries. And this is partly attributed to the industry's need to balance domestic and international demands, further aggravated by the low ringgit exchange rate. But being cheap is not necessarily a good thing. It also means that we cannot afford better products, we cannot afford better services, and we cannot afford better talents. So long-term solution would be to drive profitability up on a higher rate than the inflation of operating costs to enable the industry to compete on international level with better products, better services, and also talents. This would also involve extensive policy changes, including realistically managing supply and demand of the hotel industry, limiting new hotel development in already congested area, regulating and controlling home sharing like Airbnb, as well as understanding tourist arrivals numbers better to develop better tourism strategies.
Right. Thank you so much for that lip sync, you know, and for, you know, carving out the time to speak with us on Chinese New Year Eve. That, of course, was CEO of the Malaysian Association of Hotels, Yap Lip Sing. Now, you know, this is something that lip sync spoke to us about, I think, maybe about a year back, where he already warned us about this shortage of staff when we start opening up again, when there's all this revenge demand for travel and tourism that we will be experiencing, just because, you know, that was that long break where you couldn't do the industrial placements. If you were already taking a hospitality course or something like that, you find it difficult to find placement in hotels because, you know, hotels were just, I mean, they were just working with limited staff just to make ends meet, right? So he warned us about that. And he also said that once things open, there was going to be a big issue with staff. And so now it's happening. And like everyone is out there, it's the festive season. There's so much demand. And, you know, it's sad, but I'm really hoping that, you know, things start to pick up again. We've seen the demand there. And now just to get people interested and enticed again.
I mean, I remember speaking to him not all that long ago, and we were talking about the idea of mentorships within the hotel industry as well, and how that's a really big thing because, you know, when you work for hotel chains and when you work within that industry, you tend to be in it for quite some time, you know. It's not something you kind of get into and then get out of. A lot of people have it as a career for life. And when you've been working for so long for one company in the same industry, and then all of a sudden that industry has essentially died for a period, where do you go and what do you do? And all those mentors have to go on somewhere and they have to earn money somewhere else. And so when the new staffs come in, they don't have those mentor to look up to as well and to be taught the proper procedures on one thing or another. So there's this whole thing about, one, there might not be enough staff. And when the staff do come in, they might not be as skillful as they were before. With that being said, though, this is an industry that, you know, Malaysia relies on. We rely on tourism. It's a huge thing. And there really should be a spotlight on this to get it up and get it moving and get people into industry. And if that means paying them more, pay them more.
Yeah,
you know, because a lot of people who are coming in internationally don't mind paying a little bit to stay in a hotel.
Yes, exactly. We do have one WhatsApp here to get to, and this is from Raz, who says, yes, but they must at least announce if there is no room service. I think he was talking about my experience during my recent staycay. Not cool, because if there is an emergency, how would you get help? And Raz also says that he just came back from Langkawi, and he says, yes, there is a shortage of staff in the hotel industry.
There you go.
Rich, you know, before we go, I'm not going to let us talk about the hotel industry and not at least sell that beautiful interview that you did. Was it with Chloe Hotels recently?
It was indeed, yes.
Tell us more about that and where everyone can go listen to that podcast.
You can head over to our website, of course, bfm.my, or you can download the app. It's available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. And the reason that I interviewed... do you know what? I've forgotten his name, and that's really embarrassing. However, it's Chloe Hotel, spelled K-L-O-E. And the reason that I wanted to speak with him is because it was a catch-up kind of interview. When I first spoke to him, they just opened up the hotel. It was just a few weeks before the pandemic hit. And so there was this sense of aspiration and all these wonderful things were going to be happening for this new hotel that was about to open up. And it's got these beautiful boutique rooms. You know, you can go in one room and it's all plants, and you can go in another room, it's all about painting. And then, of course, the pandemic hit and everything ground to a halt. But it's a story of survival and grit, and about somebody who managed to retain all of...
Ooh, I think we've lost Rich. Rich, come back. See, this is what happens when we do everything virtually. Well, basically, Richard was talking about his podcast with Ng Ping Ho from Chloe Hotel. So go look for that on our website. That's bfm.my. You can also find all our podcasts on the BFM app that's available on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. I don't think Richard is coming back. He's just completely frozen. But I do like this look that I'm seeing online right now. But his PC has crashed. Well, I guess then it's just up to me to wrap up the show. I guess Rich is already officially on CNY holiday. If you are just joining us, we have been talking about the recovery of the hotel industry now that demand is up, up and up. If you missed out on any part of this show, you can go look for the podcast on our website, also on the BFM app. More on Enterprise Biz Bites coming to you on Thursday at noon. But till then, on behalf of the Enterprise team, Frida, Richard, Arvin, Christine, myself, of course, our interns Lily and Shreya, have a wonderful Chinese New Year. Stay safe, everyone, and catch you again on Thursday. BFM 89.9.
Enterprise Biz Bites was presented by Allianz Malaysia, empowering businesses to build confidence in tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.